Should we move on to the next? Okay.
Thank you.
So the next paragraph speaks to the possibility that the contract price under a contract that's negotiated with one of these pilot projects, if it's likely to exceed the projected market price for the relevant item, whether it's capacity, energy, or RECs, over the term of the contract, the commission, I think this still needs some wording as I'm looking at it, but anyway, the commission may direct the one or more T&Ds to enter into a long-term contract, provided that the contract requires the use of the following funding sources to the full extent authorized by law to mitigate impacts on electric rates. And then it lists several different funding sources. One would be federal support for the project obtained by the developer. Two would be a portion of federal revenues from leasing on the Outer Continental Shelf that is received by the state. Three is a portion of the rent received by the state for leasing of state submerged lands. Fourth is a portion of the funds collected in the Energy Infrastructure Benefits Fund, which I guess that would maybe fall under the alternative energy resources part of that. Then there's a item that says Ocean Power Offer, PUC Rep Fletcher Amendment, so we can get to that. And then any other revenues that could reduce ratepayer impacts over the contract term. And then the requirement that in no event may the commission approve a long-term contract under this section that would result in electric rates, an increase in rates greater than what people often call the system benefit charge, but in law it's referred to as certain assessments that are charged, and it's the assessments charged under 35A 10,110 subsection 4, which is the 0.145 cents. And then it says that any contract under this section must provide that it's constructed and operating within 5 years, unless there's mutual agreement to a longer period. And as so there are these six listed funding sources that must be used to mitigate price impacts. And I don't know, Representative Fletcher, do you want to speak to number five?
There is a one-page handout which is not written in legislative language, but I was trying to explain at least the concept behind the proposal. And kind of the lead-in preamble, you know, kind of talks about this 25 megawatts over-the-horizon floating wind power idea, and realizing that is a distinct and innovative approach as compared to what I call the conventional. And so that the idea behind it, and just let me run the numbers quickly, 25 megawatts, I think, was stated to potentially produce 87,600 megawatt hours per year. Just to put it in perspective, that's about 1,400 households consumption. And as we've learned, or at least I've learned, that, you know, the key to future growth of off over the horizon ocean wind and the realization of the related main base supply chain economic development, that's the term I use, but it fits into what's in the bill. We need to show have a robust demonstration of the support by the state. That was one of the key principles which I think I heard that said, this is really important to us and we're going to come forward and we're going to really support that. So the proposal would be to highlight the distinctiveness of this new renewable energy source. I would propose that we have an ocean wind green standard offer. I'm not locked to those terms, but it's the whole concept of this is innovative, something in the future, and that would be offered by the Maine Public Utilities Commission to coincide under the assumption that we do sign a contract. Because obviously if we don't sign a contract and we aren't producing this distinctive product, there isn't any product to buy. So that would be offered to Maine consumers. And the idea behind it is really starting to get some marketing branding, brand the product, which is distinct, and to clearly show that the state's commitment and the related stakeholders' commitment to this technology and its importance to energy security as well as economic development, the state of Maine I'm talking about, should select the Ocean Wind Green Standard offer. So that would say that the state of Maine, at least the state government portion, saying we're committed to this, and this is a product that we want to buy for all the inherent advantages that we've heard. And just as an order of magnitude, assuming I've got the numbers right, I think the state of Maine uses something like 19,400 megawatt hours a year of electricity, probably be less by the time we get there because they're doing a good job of keeping the efficiency. And that's about 22% of the total output of the project. So it's a major portion, or at least a significant portion. Then the other idea to further show the support for this technology transition, you know, the University of Maine could also come on and buy that product. And then combined with the other 40 related entities that I understand that are in the mix, in the supply chain of one form or another, if they came on, and I haven't got the numbers, but my speculation is that if we start adding that all up, that could pretty well create the demand for that whole output. Maybe it doesn't, but it should be a significant portion of it. I think in addition, the other thing it would do is having it branded and having it as part of the Green Standard offer, or a Green Standard offer from the PUC, this would allow other customers in the state to start purchasing this product. And combined with the items 1 through 4, I think it would have a very good chance of, first of all, achieving the objective of clearly and distinctly showing our commitment in the state of Maine to this product. And also, it could also have the impact of mitigating any unintentional cost transfers to other Maine ratepayers. Now, I don't know if this will be 100% success, or whether it's going to create the solution to all our problems, but to me, I think it's time that if this is a strategic initiative of the state of Maine, that we need to offer this. And this is one way to get it out to the public so that people can elect to purchase it. Thank you.
Representative Flaherty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Representative Fletcher has drafted pretty great concept. The one concern I might have is somehow making sure that that green Ocean Wind Green Standing offer isn't ridiculously high. And is there any? I mean, I'm going to use for example. I have chosen God with interfaith power and light in my area, which I pay a premium on top of the regular standard offer. I'm just wondering what the likelihood that we're going to see this great Ocean Wind Green Standard offer be completely uncompetitive, and if there's anything that we can do to prevent that.
My understanding is this would be on the menu, and there are 5 or 6 other things on the menu, such as any federal support for the project, which could be a grant which would offset some of the capital cost, which in turn would then reduce the price of the electricity. The other portion is to use a portion of the federal revenues from leasing of land, right, either offshore or onshore or whatever, to help offset that capital cost or other means, and a portion of the rent the state receives from leasing state submerged lands. And then the fourth option that's listed is a portion of the funds collected in the energy infrastructure process that we have already in place. Now, the ideal situation would be is that the technology evolves, and it may not be there on the first 25, but the ideal situation, and that's my understanding of why the floating platform is the innovation, is because that is projected to be competitive with land-based, based on what I heard from the folks. So the ideal situation would be it comes in actually less than the standard offer, which would be a great marketing tool. If it doesn't come in less than the standard offer, that the increment is not significant for those folks who feel that they want to buy that product. Now, it's very hard to speculate what the price is going to be because we haven't got the bid. It's very hard to say exactly how this all flows out. But the point I'm bringing forth that if we want to have a clear demonstration of the commitment of the state of Maine, rather than disperse it to all the ratepayers, which is not hiding it, but is certainly keeping it below the radar, having this product available and hopefully competitive in price or not significantly out of line would allow us to really, I think, gain the acceptance and the marketing of it to a greater extent. Now, I don't know what the price is going to be because we haven't got the bids. But at least having this as one of the steps, of course, by the time it gets there, we'll know what the price is, or at least projected, because that all gets back into the bid process. And that wouldn't start before, assuming we did have a long-term contract, before there was actually a bid accepted, which I'm sure the PUC will work through and we'll have some process to deal with that.